Alrighty, well, we are going to continue with our series on healing, and I trust it's been a blessing to you. It certainly has been to me, just to go through these truths and grow in them, which is what we want to do. We want to grow in these truths. We all know that God wants us to be healthy. We all know that God heals. Anybody here say, God doesn't heal? There are fundamental things of God's word that we do have an understanding of, but we want to continue to grow in them. We want to grow in our ability to minister and our, you know, rather than hearing about stories of people getting healed that you may have known somebody that got healed, to being the story that it's happening to you or happening among us, which does happen. I mean, there are a lot of stories we can tell, but that we just grow in it and just, it's just a part of our everyday life, which it has been and is, but it's something we grow in. And as we went over, and we know that believing is one of the major ingredients to receiving healing from God, we got to believe. Denying that you have a problem is not believing. Yeah. Oh, you know, if you just broke your leg and you know your leg is broken, you'll say, oh, my leg really isn't broken. I'm just going to walk like it's not. You know, it's not denying what you have. It's rather, you know, okay, I got a broken leg, but I have a God who can heal me. Right. And that's what I'm going to go towards. I have truth that I can hang my hat on. That's what I'm going to do. It's not denying. Oh, there's nothing wrong with me. In the meantime, you're real, have to fall over. So it's, you know, I remember a time where, I thought, well, denying it is part of believing. It really isn't. It's kind of foolish. So let's go to Acts chapter 1. Today I'd like to go a little bit over on the subject of things possible and things impossible. Things possible and things impossible. You know, healing is a part of the finished work of Jesus Christ, which we know and went over. It's ours for the taking. And in light of this possible and impossible, we're going to look at a word that we're very familiar with called power. And it's the Greek word dunamis. And, in manifestations, God said he gave us power. And in verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power, and that's the word dunamis, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And in the Power for Abundant Living class, Dr. Will said that basically this word means inherent power. It's a potential power that God gives the believer. And it's power that he has, but he's also given it to his people. And it's a potential power. It's the ability to perform. The ability to do. And in Ephesians 1:19, we'll see it again. Ephesians 1:19, it's potential power that can be utilized. And he's given it to us by way of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? It is his power, but it's to usward who believe. According to the working of his mighty power. So dunamis is an inherent power, but it's also, it's translated power a lot, but it's also translated miracle a lot. One of the manifestations, working of miracles, as it listed in 1 Corinthians 12, is working of dunamis. It's working of power. And the word working is energizing. Really, the working of miracles is an energizing of power in its simplistic form. It's an energizing of power, a working of power. So we're going to look at that in light of possible and impossible. So let's go to Mark chapter 10. The Gospel of Mark chapter 10. And in verse 27, Jesus had been talking about a rich man that you know, he turned himself away from the things of God because of his riches, and he made some statements concerning salvation, and it startled the apostles. And in verse 27, Jesus says, and I am in Matthew. Boy, that does not look like the verse. Sorry, Mark chapter 10, verse 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. And this is set in the context of salvation and things that he was talking about. But the truth of this, things possible and impossible with man and God, is something that can be applied to many areas of life. Man is frail. God is powerful. Man can't get himself saved. God can get a man saved. And the word impossible there, with men it is impossible. It's the Greek word adunatos. And it's dunamis. It's a form of dunamis with the word with the letter A in front of it, which makes it the opposite. Like, symmetrical is where you got things in symmetry. Asymmetrical is where they're not in symmetry. So this is without power. It's power, but without it, because it's got the A in front of it. So basically, it's not able, not capable, without strength, powerless, deficient in strength, impotent, without the R. Shooting blanks. So when it comes to salvation, it's impossible for man. He's totally deficient to get himself saved. Not available. But with God, all things are possible. And this word possible is the Greek word dunamis. The same thing, only without the A. A form of dunamis. You know, that he's able, he's powerful, he's mighty in ability, he's strong. And God is God Almighty. That's why they call him God Almighty. Didn't get that name for nothing. In Hebrews 4:12, we looked at it recently. The word of God is quick, powerful. His words are powerful. It's the word dunamis there, if I remember right. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. His word is powerful. Isaiah 55. He will and can do what he says he can do or will do. He can do what he says he can do what he says he's going to do, and he will do what he says he will do. He's powerful. Chapter 55, verse 10. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be, just like those things he just said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's word will never come back void. Let's go to Exodus chapter 34. Things possible and impossible. Exodus chapter 34, verse 10. This is God and Moses and the things that God was going to do. And he, referring to God, said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible or a mighty thing that I will do with thee. God is powerful. And when the things that he says he's going to do, he will do. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. So with God, all things are possible. And this is the record where the angel Gabriel comes and makes a visit to Mary, who did not know anything at this point that she was going to be the one to birth the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a young Israelite, growing in God's word, minding her own business, living life, loving God. And one day, Gabriel pops up where she was. Verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, hey, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, and remember, she, at this point she doesn't know she's going to be told. She's the one. She's just listening. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Okay, that's not super odd. People have been told that in the Old Testament. The angels came and said, hey, you know, your wife's going to get pregnant, or you're going to get pregnant. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, okay, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Still not a full clue. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Ah, he's going to be a king. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Wow, that's pretty great too. Still doesn't know. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Ah, you know, I'm engaged to Joseph, but you know, we haven't had sex yet. How is this going to happen? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of his of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now she knows. It's like, ah. You know, it's not just a child that, you know, she knows is going to be a boy. She knows she should name it Jesus. She knows he's going to be a king. His kingdom will rule forever. But he's going to be the Son of God. Now we got a big item here. And her question, great question, how's this going to happen? The answer was, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. The word power there, no surprise, is dunamis. God is going to use his ability, his power, his capability to put sperm in your fallopian tube and impregnate you. He's going to use his power. You know, what an answer. How's this going to happen to me? Well, God's power is going to go into action here. And then he brings this up, verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son, which she didn't notice, in her old age. And this is the second month with her, who was called barren. So she knew of her cousin. She was barren all her life. She's now an old lady. And all of a sudden, she's with child. So, you know, she's got something that she can connect with, that she knows for sure. And it's like, wow. You know, the angels just said, hey, the power of God is going to go into operation. And hey, you know, your cousin Elizabeth, who's been barren, she's now pregnant. just incredible. Verse 37. And here's why this can happen. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. The word impossible is that Greek word, adynatos. Nothing with God is without strength or power. With God, nothing is without power. something. That's how come, the reason it's happening. Verse four, you know, the first word, four, shows the reason. With God, there is nothing that shall be impossible. The words, the word nothing is made out of three Greek words, upa rimas, or rima. And the word rima, the word u means no, and the word rima is the word for word. And technically, it would be no word, or not one word shall be without power. It's not the word for nothing, no one, you know, no, it's the word for no one word, or no word. Two translations, one the New International Version translates this verse, for no word from God will ever fail. Another one, authorized one, no, for no word from God shall be void of power. So that's how Mary's going to get pregnant, utilizing the power of God. So that's why the angel responded to Mary's question in this form. And he ought to know. He has been around God for a long time. I'm sure Gabriel has seen some stuff. Hey, I'll just clue you in. When God says something, it's going to happen.
That's right.
For no word coming from God is without power. Look at the great response Mary had. And Mary said, oh, this can't happen. No. This is the response we want in our heart when we need the Word of God to come to pass in our lives. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm with you. Be it unto me according to thy word. Because no word from God is without power. Just incredible. So then she goes and visits Elizabeth, and we're going to pick it up in verse 45. She gets there, she starts talking, and Elizabeth says in verse 45, and blessed is she that believed, referring to Mary, for there shall be a performance, there shall be a performance, boy, is she in tune with the things of God, of those things which were told her from the Lord. So she's got this wonderful woman saying, hey, look, there's going to be a performance of this. For lo, as verse 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low state of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done this, or hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Just incredible. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. For with God nothing is impossible, or no word is without power, or void of power. Mark chapter 9. Well, we looked at this several times in the last few weeks. The record of the man who had a son that was very ill. He had a lot of seizures. He had a lot of problems. And the disciples tried to heal him and couldn't. And Jesus Christ got involved. And we're going to pick it up in verse 14. It says, and when he, referring to Jesus Christ, came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, well, what are you questioning with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, which means to throw him down. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. So then the spirit wants to, it takes the kid, the child, throws him down, and it's gnashing, you know, it's grinding his teeth, and this liquid's coming out of his mouth, and he's and it says it stiffens. And it's basically what we would consider a seizure. Mm-hmm. Where somebody just falls, they stiffen up, and they're... Now, my sister has seizures a lot. I've seen her have hundreds of seizures. And she'll just fall and just, you know, hurt. She drools all over. I mean, it takes a lot out of her. When she comes out of it, she's quiet for a long time. It's like it drained her completely. And, you know, just terrible. So and it was wearing the kid down, piling up the way. And I spake to the disciples and that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now, the disciples had healed a lot of other people before. And they get to this one, and it didn't happen. And he answered and said, verse 19, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit terror threw him down, and he fell to the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him, unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it cast him out and cast him into the fire and into waters to destroy him. But if you can't do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So in verse 21, he's asking the father, you know, how long has this been? He's digging for information. He's trying to get information from the father, what's going on, because he doesn't have revelation yet as to what to do. So he's just digging. And he gets a little more information, and the kid falls in front of him. And now the father's saying, if you can do anything, the word thou canst is the word dunamis, the same form, you know, it's a form of dunamis. If thou canst, if you are able, basically what he's saying, if you're able to do anything, if you have the ability, to the power, or the strength to do anything, help us. Have compassion on me. That's something. If thou canst is the word power. So Jesus hears this. He does want to help. He does have compassion. Verse 23, and Jesus said unto him, if thou canst, what? Believe. And here, the word thou canst is, again, dunamai, a form of dunamis. If you are able to believe, what's it say? All things are possible to him that believeth. If you are able to believe, the word possible is the word dunatos, dunamis. All things are able, all things are possible, all things are powerful. So if you're able to believe, if you have the ability to believe, you are going to have the power to get that healing. It's a lot of things that are possible and impossible. Verse 24, and straightway, immediately, the father of the child cried and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Help thou my unbelief. And that's the cry that we would have every time that we have a need. And we just want to get that deliverance, whatever it may be. Whether it's physical healing, mental healing, whether it's a circumstance where the power of God's got to come into play. You know, it's not just reserved for healing. Mm-hmm. You know, help my unbelief. We go to a God that is able. He is able. Right? He is all powerful. He's almighty. And he's given us that power. So those are great words that he said, and great words for us to say in our lives. Verse 25, and when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, and saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, well, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately. I wouldn't want to ask publicly. They were smart enough to wait until they got in the house. Hey, Jesus, how come we couldn't do that? Why could not we cast him out? The word could. Why could we not? The word could is the word dunamis. Duamia. It's a form of doing this. Why didn't we, basically they're asking, why didn't we have the power to cast him out? Why didn't we have the ability or the capability to cast him out? It's a good question. You know, they had, like I said, you read other records, they had already been ministering, healing to people, casting out devil spirits. They were, remember, they were sent out to minister. They came back rejoicing. Hey, these devil spirits leave when we tell them. We healed people. Now they get to this guy and they're like stymied. So they say, hey, how come we didn't have the power? What was it that was missing? And the answer, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now we're going to go to Matthew 17 to get a little bigger understanding. It's the same incident, answering the same question. Matthew 17. Verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, and here's a little bit more information. Matthew 17, now we're in 20. Verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, if you have believing as a grain of mustard seed, and you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing shall be impossible to you. The word nothing is the word, it's not the word rima. It's the word for nothing. Not one thing. No thing. So not one thing or no thing or nothing shall be adunatas. The opposite of dunamis. Not one thing will be without power or ability or strength for you. Isn't that incredible? Not one thing will be without power. I'm going to read that again. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have believing as a grain of mustard seed, just a little itsy bitsy amount of believing, if you just have that little bit of believing, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Why? Because you have a word from God that says you can cast that mountain, tell that mountain to get out. And if you have that word, not one thing shall be without power to you. Why is this? Because we have the power of God at our disposal. We've been given power. Acts 1:8, you shall receive dunamis. After that, the Holy Spirit's come upon you. We have that already. And we have a God that works within us, the will to do his good pleasure. He gives us information, helps us to helps us to process it, and bring it to pass. I have a little elevator example. It's the goofy way my brain thinks. An elevator. We've all been in elevators. So you're in a building and you want to go to a different floor. And you see the elevator. Okay, I'll take the elevator, not the stairs. There's two buttons. It'll have an arrow up and an arrow down, or it'll say up and down. There's your word. You push up because you want to go up. You just have a word. That you have one word. You push the button, and all of a sudden the door opens. Wow. You walk in, the door shuts. Now there's another button. You want to go to the second floor, and there's a number two. But the two is digitally representing second floor. Words, right? You push the button. All of a sudden it moves. You feel it moving. You get to the second floor. It stops. The door automatically opens. And you walk out, and there's a sign that says second floor. How'd you get there? You got there by the power of the elevator. All you do is accept those words. Okay, I'll take up. Okay, I'll take second floor. You operate it, you're energizing that power, but the elevator got you there. God gives a word, his power goes to work when we have that little bit of believing.
It's powerful.
No unbelief. There's no, and unbelief is where you're, there's a part of your brain that's still got something saying, oh, I don't think it's going to happen. Believing is where there's no doubt, like Mark 11:23 says. You know, if you believe and there's no doubt in your heart, but shall believe that the things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. There's no dividing of thoughts. No dividing of thoughts. So you get in that elevator, you push that button, you're operating the power of the elevator. God gives you a word, like God gave Mary a word. How's this going to happen? I haven't even had sex yet. God's power is going to impregnate you. And you're going to have a baby. And just to help you believe, your cousin Elizabeth, who's been barren all her life, is pregnant, 6 months pregnant. How's that? And she answered, be it unto me according to thy word. Just great. So we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? We have that power. So if we have a word from God, boy, we can hang our hat on it. A couple of the healings that Jesus Christ did, that's recorded in the Gospels, it actually says what he said to the individual. Remember Mark 3, the man with the withered hand? He told him to stand up, singled him out, and he told him what? Stretch forth thine hand. And it says he stretched it forth, and it was whole as the other. Only words he had was stretch forth thine hand. But the words of God are always without power. I mean, are never without power. They're never void. So when Jesus Christ said, stretch forth thine hand, he figured that could happen. And he did it. He had a word of God to hang his hat on, so to speak. Last week, in that teaching that Dr. Will did, went over the record that was lame for 38 years, and they laid him, by, you know, he got by this pool that he thought maybe he would get healed, and for 38 years he was lame. Jesus Christ said to him, rise up and walk, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. And that's what he did. He had those words to look at that were not void of any power. No different than Mary saying, how's this going to happen? And the angel saying, the power of God is going to move and you're going to get pregnant. Blind man at the pool of Siloam, he put mud on his eyes and told him to go to, here's what he told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He did so, and it says he came back seeing. Those were the words he hung his hat on. Those were the words that he put his trust in, his believing in. But it wasn't just Jesus Christ. We see in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John going to the temple. Man lame from his mother's womb. And, you know, he was a man, so he was pretty, you know, at least 20-something. It's a long time not being able to walk. And Peter and John passing by, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, what? Rise up and walk. And the guy could have said, hey, haven't you noticed? I haven't been walking. But he didn't. He hung his hat. He hung his believing. He placed his trust on those words, and he got up. He not only stood up, but he leaped. He walked and leaped. You know, jumping up and down. That's an excited guy. A believer named Tabitha. Her other name was Dorcas. I think I'd stick with Tabitha. She was a wonderful woman, apparently, that blessed a lot of the saints in her area. She died prematurely. And this believer said, "Hey, Peter, go. You know, can you bring you unto her?" So he went to her chamber, kneeled down next to where she was laying, and it says he prayed, and then he said to a dead woman, "I can't hear." "Tabitha, arise." And that dead woman got infused with life by whom? God Almighty. God told Peter, "Tell her this." And he said it, and she was infused with life. It says she opened her eyes, she saw Peter, and then she sat up. Because, you know, when you're dead, you don't know you're dead. "What are you doing here?" "I fell asleep, knew you weren't here." She sat up. And then it says he presented her alive. Incredible. Paul, a couple chapters later, it says he was teaching. And there was a cripple in the audience. And it says he perceived that he had the believing to get healed. And during his teaching, he said, he said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And it says he stood up. Now, how cool is that? All because of those words.
Stand up on your feet.
There you go.
That's it. That's fantastic.
Now, we have a word that's available to us. It's 1 Peter 2:24. "By whose stripes you were healed." That's a written word of God. That is truth. And just as true as Gabriel, God's top brass messenger, giving Mary, "Hey, you're going to birth the Son of God, and this is how it's going to happen." It's pretty cool. It's really wonderful. So, with God and His Word, if we have His Word, we have a word that is without power. So,
with power.
With power. You got it. So, how magnificent is that? How terrific.
Fantastic.
So, no word from God is without power.